Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you for peace. We invite you, Lord, to fill this place. We invite you Lord God Almighty, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, great Jehovah, great Yahweh, for we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, the Messiah. We thank for the blood shed on the cross for our sins. We thank you that through the blood we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that there is forgiveness with you. We thank you that there is mercy. We thank you that there is power to become the sons and daughters of God. We thank you, God, for the truth. Father, we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. We welcome you to Fire and Grace Church. We welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio and Shoutcast Radio. We welcome you to be with us this morning. Praise be to God. Amen. It's been worshiping the Lord.
Yes.
Praise you. You know, I love the same song like we did this morning, songs that talk about King Jesus and talk about Jesus dying on that cross for our sins, being resurrected from the dead, being the victor over death, hell, and the grave, conquering and breaking the power of sin.
Praise you, Lord.
There's no other religion. See, there's no other religion that has the answer for sin. Good works don't get it out. They've tried that. Right? They've tried repetitious prayers. They've tried beating themselves and whipping themselves and all the things that they do. But there's no religion that says there is a remedy for what every man, woman, boy, girl knows plagues in their soul and their mind. And that is sin and darkness. Satan is demons. There's only one name. Call the demons to flee.
Yes, Jesus.
Name the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of things that are on my heart this morning. Different directions to go with this, but I'm just going to be honest as we were in worship there. Some tears came to my eyes because, you know, I've been studying a little deeper, a little further. I've been studying Islam, the Islamic connection to the Antichrist and the rise of the Antichrist and the kingdom of the beast. I've been looking more into the Roman Catholic connection and the Roman Catholic church and its part that it's going to play and all that. And here's what's so sad, you know, I mean, there's a lot of details that we can dig into, there's a lot of things we can show, there's a lot of things, of course, I've already taught you, I've already preached about, but one thing that's sad is when you look at the numbers, whether it's 1.3, 1.8, 1, you know, whatever it is, there's different discrepancies, but let's just say 1.8 million Muslims in the world. And then if you look at the Roman Catholic Church and its heresy, with its Mary worship and everything else, and it's about 1.3 billion people in the world. And then if you look at India, which is full of idolatry and Hinduism, and there are umpteen million gods that they have in Hinduism, and then you just lump Hinduism and Buddhism together, if you look at India, we know the majority of India is either Hindu or Muslim. There are Christians there, but still, you're looking at 1 billion or so there. And if you just do the math, right there, just those few false religions that exist out there, it's half the world's population. Half the world's population. And that's not counting people who are into the New Age movement, people who are just atheists and agnostics and unbelievers, people who are into witchcraft and Satanism and Wicca, Santeria and Voodoo. And you start thinking about it, and you know, here's the thing. It just makes me kind of sad this morning to see Satan and the demon spirits of deception and error and false teaching and all those things. It just makes me sad to see so many people deceived, robbed of the relationship that they could have with the one true God, the true Creator. Robbed from the experience of having their sins forgiven, of the joy and peace and love that you feel when you're born again and you know Jesus Christ has saved you. It's just sad. I'm looking at the Islamic religion and the bondage that they live in, the rituals, the things that they have to do, with no guarantee, unless they die a martyr, jihad, no guarantee in their religion that they are forgiven of their sins or saved. It's just sad. It's a sad, sad state of affairs. And you know, as a preacher, sometimes I preach pretty hard about these false religions. And it's not because I hate the people that are in those false religions. It's I hate the false religion. I hate the deception. I hate the lies that are robbing people and stealing people and taking people away from the truth and from the freedom and from the peace and from the healing and from the power of the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. It is sad to see that destruction and to see them just walk in death, just walk and live in death. You know, I've had Muslims, even recently, I had a Kurdish man from Iraq tell me to my face that he stated that he'd become a Christian, but he grew up under Islam. He grew up in Iraq. He grew up and lived with the persecution of his people from Saddam Hussein. And, you know, Saddam Hussein tried to completely wipe out the Kurdish people. But one thing he told me about Islam, and this is what he said. He said, there's no love in it. Now, here's a poor Muslim, lived his whole life, grew up in Iraq, watched the hatred between Muslims. He said, they've killed each other, they'll kill their family members. He said, there's no love. He said, they don't even love their own children. They don't love their wives. They don't even love each other. It's all about gain. It's all about what's in it for me. It's all about their demonic religion. And it was sad. He said they even train their animal to attack and eat other human beings. They're just barbaric. But here's what's sad, and here's where I'm going to go with this. Islam is a curse. Islam is an evil force. It is an evil spirit. It is antichrist. It is completely contrary to the scriptures, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the God of the Bible, who came long before Islam ever came into being. It denies that Jesus is the Messiah. It denies that Jesus is the Son of God. It denies that Jesus died on the cross. And its holy book, the Quran, instructs them to kill and persecute the unbelievers in Islam. Now here's what's sad. It doesn't take a theologian. It doesn't take somebody who has a PhD to study a little bit and find out that Islam, the God they serve, they call Allah, is not the same God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, Adonai, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not difficult to look at, right? But see, this is what you guys don't really realize. Is that the spirit of Islam or the spirit of the Antichrist working within Islam is permeating now all levels of society. More than you have any idea. Permeating everything. How could something so evil, so vile, so miserable as a religion of Islam that will treat women horrid? How on earth they teach their children to go in, set bombs on themselves, and go into restaurants and blow up Jews, Christians? How does anyone who can watch the news over the last 30 years say that Islam is a religion of peace? Have you watched the news about Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt? They kill each other. They fight each other. Oh, yeah, they hate Christians and Jews and want to kill Christians and Jews. But hey, if they don't find any Christians and Jews, they will kill each other because they are full of the spirit of death and the spirit of murder. And yet, we have pastors in the West, Australia, the pastor of the Hillsong Church, saying that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. We had Billy Graham say it on television in 1997. We have Rick Warren saying it, and not only saying it, but going to Obama's inauguration and praying the prayer in the name of Isa, the false Jesus in the Quran. And we have Christians sitting around, nodding their heads, yeah, we really worship the same God, we just have some misunderstanding. Now, let me just say this very plainly this morning. Allah is Satan. Satan has many names. Remember, he's always wanted to be like God. God Almighty, the Creator, has many names. Right? I just went through a few of them. God's name, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jehovah, as we say in English. Elohim, Adonai, Jah, or Yah, El. Right? God has many names. We know them. They're in the Bible. Right? The Holy One of Israel, the Lord of Hosts, Jehovah Sitkanu, Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Nisi. I have many names to describe his character, to describe his heart, but of course he said the name that is above every name, or the Godhead, the name above every name.
Jesus.
It's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the name above every name. But Satan has many names. We see them revealed in the Bible. He's revealed as Baal, B-A-A-L, or Baal, B-E-L, or Baal-Zebub. Satan, devil, serpent, deceiver, tempter, liar, murderer. Mene, Molech, Chemosh, Ashtoreth, all the gods, the false gods of the Egyptians and the Canaanites, Horus. Right? Move you go down the list. Now here's the interesting. Baal was a god, a demon god, really the devil, another name for the devil, that was worshipped all throughout the Middle East, all throughout the Middle East. I don't even know what his symbol was. I don't even know what Baal's symbol was. Spartan. Yes. Oh, I'll leave it alone. Actually, he saw the symbol of Baal as a time of bull, but the horn that came out like this represented the crescent moon, and you would see around the Istian that represented the sun or a star. Now, the reason for that, the reason for the bull, is because it was a representation of when these constellations, when it was in Taurus, the bull. Okay? But many times it was just a simple crescent moon with a star in it. Now, we all know the sun is a star as well, right? So sometimes it looks like it's the sun, and sometimes it looks like it's the star. How many of you know what the symbol of Islam is? Huh? Crescent moon with a star. Right? Interesting, huh? The ancient symbol of Baal, Satan, is also the symbol of Islam. Mighty interesting, right? Now I can show you all this. I'm just gonna talk to you this morning. I can pull all this up and show you two things. Here's another interesting thing. Remember a few weeks back when we were going through when starting the series in Genesis, and I talked to you about Isaiah 14, when it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Don't remember that last time? Let's turn there. I'm going to show you some things this morning. Isaiah chapter 14. I just want to show you that Allah is Satan. I don't mind this, do you? Because I want to tell you what you're going to see in the world over the next few years. You're going to see more and more people moving toward accepting Islam as a peaceful, good religion, as something that you should incorporate into your life. Well, let's look at this. Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the Lord. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and they that see thee shall narrowly look upon me, and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, and did shake kingdoms?" So it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Now, Lucifer, I've shared this with you last week, because I've been studying this now for some time, of course, but Lucifer is a Latin translation of the Hebrew word Hera. Satan's original name in Hebrew was Hillel. Okay? Now, let's understand something. That most Jewish scholars and Jewish rabbis and in Jewish tradition, it's believed that the original language, remember, there was one language. right? Before the Tower of Babel, there was one language that God, I believe, gave Adam and Eve, and that was the language that everyone spoke. Until the Tower of Babel, it said God divided the languages because they had one language and they were going to accomplish what they were going to accomplish. Well, I firmly believe that Hebrew was the original language. And this is also what all Jewish rabbis and scholars and Jewish tradition believes, and there's many reasons for that. But here's what's interesting. You've got to remember that Arabic then came after Hebrew. And many things in the Middle East, you'll see things, but the Arabic language, you'll see, has a lot of words that have similar sounding words in Hebrew, and even sometimes they even have the same meaning. Not always. But it's amazing, they'll have the exact same word. Let me give you an interesting word. In in Daniel chapter 2, when it's talking about the statue and the feet that have iron mixed with clay, the word mixed there in that passage and the word mingle in the Hebrew is the word Arab. Well, guess what? The word Arab actually to this day means a mixed or mingled group of people. You see what I'm saying? So the Hebrew language gives us a lot of hints about words' original meaning, right? Now there is a word, remember, Satan's name in Hebrew is Halal, right? Halal. Halal is really how it's pronounced. You can look it up. You got it back there, right? My wife's always looking it up in the Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionary for me. She's checking it out. Pronounce Halal. What's the number in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary? 1966. What's it? Morning star. Right? So Lucifer is not an incorrect translation. It's just a Latin term for shining one or bright one or morning star. Alright? So here we have this word. Now in Arabic, Hillel means, guess what? Huh? Crescent moon. Alright? So Hillel means crescent moon, and it also calls him in this Bible passage the morning star, a star. So one of the true symbols of Satan is a crescent and a star. Remember we talked about falling stars. What did Jesus say about Lucifer, about Satan in Luke 10:19? He said, "Behold, I beheld Lucifer as lightning, or Satan as lightning, fall from heaven." Matter of fact, the angels in the book of Revelation, the angels are referred to, as in the book of Job, they're referred to as stars. It's another name for them. It's a symbolic name. Isn't that interesting what we call our Hollywood idols? Stars. Oh, yeah. But everything in this world is painted by Satan is fallen in. Everything. All right? Now, here's what's interesting. When the devil sent here, when Lucifer sent, the thing that caused him to sin, his first sin, the Bible says, of course, it was the pride of his heart, but what he said out of his mouth was, "I will ascend into heaven, I will ascend and lift myself up above God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true God. I will ascend." Guess what? In the Hebrew, I just discovered this the other day, looking these words up in the old school with the actual Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew dictionary that I've had for 27 years. I actually looked up this word, and do you know what the word ascend is in Hebrew? The devil has created a religion with his symbol, the star and the crescent, and he named the God, he took a name from the very sin that he committed
to make himself be above God. So he made a new name, Allah, out of the word, the Hebrew word, in which he said to ascend into heaven.
Oh, yeah. Quite interesting, isn't it? What's interesting is that within the writings in the Quran and in the Hadith, you know that one of the names of Allah is the Deceiver. They call him the Deceiver. Who does the Bible call the Deceiver? Give you another little tidbit here. Don't keep going.
Yes.
Remember the God Molech. Picture since you got your sister. Just bring up a picture of Mecca for me. Just type in Mecca Kaaba, K-A-A-B-A. You know that at Mecca, out in the desert of Arabia, There's a tabernacle. There's a Muslim tent. The tent. And in it, they have a meteorite or something, what they call the black stone, a star that fell from heaven. And it's put at the cornerstone of the tabernacle. And they do worship it. They bow before it. They touch it. They kiss it. They're afraid they don't worship it, just like the, you know, just like the Catholics say they don't worship Mary. But when you bow to something and you kiss something, matter of fact, the very definition of the word worship in the Bible is to bow and kiss the hand. Right? So, cobblestone, this black stone that they have, and I, for the sake of, it's pretty obvious what it looks like. But we won't discuss that for a sec. Anyway, this black stone, what they say is that this black stone, if you touch it, that it takes your sins away. And what they claim is when it originally fell from heaven, the stone was white, but people have touched it, it takes their sins away. It's become black because it takes sins away. Now remember this. This is why Islam is the ultimate blasphemy against Jesus. The Bible calls Jesus the chief cornerstone. He is the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, the atonement, on which sin was put upon the cross. And he is the one who is the cornerstone, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. He's the only one that can take away sin, and it was done by blood. Right? But instead, in Mecca, where all Muslims bow every five times a day, devout Muslims bow on their knees and put their heads to the ground toward Mecca, they are bowing toward this Kaaba, this black stone, the Kaaba, because they believe it is holy, and they believe it takes their sins. And they're required, one of the pillars of Islam is they're required to make a pilgrimage there to touch this stone. This is a system of idolatry. Now, here's what's interesting. He said to the children of Israel, you took up this god, Riphan, this Molech, the star of your god, in the wilderness. You built a tabernacle for it. You took up this star. Now, what did Molech demand, the demon god, Satan behind his name Molech, what did he demand of them? He demanded their children to be sacrificed in fire. What do Muslims do with their children? They teach them to strap bombs on and blow themselves up with fire. They're willing to sacrifice their children. Some of them push their children into this suicide bombing. So they'll get money from the PLO, the Palestinians, or some other Arab source, and they're praised, and their parents are lifted up if they sacrifice their children. So isn't it interesting that, you know, we know that Allah, long before Muhammad came along, Allah was known as the moon god. That's why the symbol is the crescent moon. Right. I mean, you know that, remember in Acts chapter 19, when Paul was in Ephesus, there was a temple there to the goddess Diana. Right? She was the female version. Right? Of the god Apollo, or the moon god. Guess what was there that they worshipped in that temple? A black stone that supposedly fell from heaven. Oh. What are we seeing here? We're seeing that Islam is connected. Here's the Kaaba. Here's the tabernacle that's in Mecca. And here's the little looking toilet seat that they have the black stone in. And there's a picture of it right there. But for those of you who understand what I'm saying, It's a fertility thing because of the moon goddess, Aphrodite, Diana. So that's why it looks like it looks. Understand?
All right.
And why is all this important? Because we also know the Bible is very clear that the Antichrist will be a Muslim. Okay. He will be a Muslim. And this is what's wild. This is something I've never understood. But this is a possible situation here. Remember, within Islam, they teach, and they teach that a man is coming, the Imam Mahdi, that a man is coming who will restore the Islamic caliphate or the Islamic kingdom. He will rule for 7 or 8 years. He will make a peace treaty with Israel, but he will break it. He will take over Jerusalem for Islam. Sound like somebody again? The Muslim Imam Mahdi, the Muslim Messiah, is a perfect description of the Christian Antichrist, the Bible. Well, here's where it gets even freakier. It says that the Antichrist and the false prophet will be working together. Revelation 13, why don't we turn to Revelation 13? I'm just going to give you a bunch of tidbits today. Revelation 13. I've always wondered about this, and there's much speculation about this, but this is just an interesting fact. It may or may not happen this way, I don't know. But we do know, and I'm absolutely sure, that the man who will be the Antichrist will be a Muslim. Now, he will appear at first to be a moderate Muslim, to not be a radical, but he will be. Alright? Says he will come first as a man of peace, and by peace he will deceive many, it says, and by peace he will destroy many. Because he will change his tune and show that he is really for war, death, and destruction. All right? But in Revelation 13, it says this about the second beast. Now, I believe this. I believe that the coming Antichrist is going to be a Muslim man. I believe that the false prophet is the Pope, whoever is the last Pope. No question to me about that. As a matter of fact, the longer by it is, and maybe we'll get to this, but many of you don't know this, but Islam was created by the Roman Catholic Church. 100% created by the Roman Catholic Church. And after Muhammad's death, the generals turned against Rome and decided they wanted it all for themselves. I'll talk about that later. But Rome is the mother of all harlots. She created the Nazis. She created communism. She created Islam. Roman Catholic Church is the form. She is the mother of harlots. I'm not saying they're not harlots. A lot of people will say, you know, that America is the great whore. And they'll say that, oh, some are saying even Saudi Arabia are the great whore of Revelation 17. Well, I got news for them. We might be incorporated now as part of her daughters, but we are not the mother. The United States, Saudi Arabia, we are not the mother of this great whore, who's the mother of all fathers. Now, that is the Roman Catholic Church. No question. Matter of fact, God's taking me back to things that he showed me and that I studied back in the 80s about this. You know, Alberto Riviera, a lot of people don't believe, but he came out of the Jesuits. He was a Jesuit priest. He was trained by Cardinal B.E.A. He came out of the Jesuit order, got saved, came out of the Jesuit order with his credentials and with pictures and with his IDs to prove it. These were documented. Jack Chick interviewed him and published his story in a series of books. But he's the one who revealed that Cardinal B. in the Jesuits explained how the Roman Catholic Church, a Catholic monk, picked out Muhammad, how a nun who was an Arab woman who was a nun, that they had given her, they called her out of a convent with a mission, gave her a lot of wealth and a lot of money. She was 40 years old. She married Muhammad when he was about 25. And the Catholic monks and the Jesuits groomed him to bring the Arab people into a new religion. And they groomed him to set it up because you know what they were trying to do? Who had more influence in the Middle East at that time, around 500, 600 AD, when all this began? Christianity was strong all over the Middle East. And the Roman Catholic Church wanted Jerusalem. But they had a little problem, the true Christian. So they needed a scapegoat, someone that they could get to destroy and kill the Jews and the Christians to get rid of them so that they could take Jerusalem and take over the Middle East for the Roman Catholic Church. Because remember, the Roman Catholic Church preaches that they are the kingdom of God on earth. Well, if you don't have Jerusalem, you can't really say that, can you? Because the Bible really tells when Jesus comes back that Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the kingdom of God on earth. This is why the Muslims want it. This is why the Roman Catholic Church wants it. Okay? It's really not hard to figure out. And let's just remember, a lot of people say, no, the Roman Catholic Church couldn't have made Islam. Oh, really? Why is there so many favorable things within the Quran about marriage? Somebody influenced the one who wrote the Quran to be favorable about marriage, but not Jesus. Who's more favorable about marrying than they are Jesus in their religion? The Roman Catholic Church. Oh yeah, I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg here. There's far more fruit than this. But Rome is the mother of all harlots. She's the mother of Rome. What happened is her child, the Islamic child that she created, rebelled against her. And that's why they went to war, the Crusades. For several centuries, they went to war to keep Islam from taking over Europe because they were about to do it. See, what happened was Muhammad was in on the understanding that it was all for Rome. Well, when Muhammad died, all the people that he indoctrinated in his false religion believed the false religion. They didn't believe the line of Rome, so they rebelled against Rome. But get this, listen to this closely. When you got over into the 1400s, when finally the Roman Catholic Church and Islam decided to sit down and make an agreement, a treaty, to stop the crusade, to stop the war, they made an agreement that Catholic churches would be allowed to flourish in Muslim countries, and they made an agreement that Muslim mosques would be able to flourish in traditional Christian or Catholic countries. And you know who negotiated this treaty? St. Francis of Assisi. Which I believe is a big hint to why this new pope came in and shocked the world by picking the name Pope Francis, because he's going to bring the Muslims and the Roman Catholics together, which is exactly what the Bible says, that the beast and the whore will rise together. Right? But remember, at the end of the tribulation, it says that the beast, the Antichrist beast that's Islamic, will hate the whore and he will kill her and destroy her with fire. Why? Because there's an ancient enmity between the Roman Catholic Church and Islam because of the bloody crusades that went on for centuries. Revenge. Revenge is always a long-held issue, right? Now, what did I tell you to turn to?
Revelation 13.
Back to the Kaaba. Okay, so now we understand something. Remember this. Maybe we're speculating a little here on this issue, but you'll see what I'm saying. All right. Now, look at this. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake to the dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that swelled therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders so that he made the fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he has power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had a womb by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, this is weird. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, I've already explained to you the next part of this, which says he causes all, well, small, great, rich, and poor, to receive a mark in the right hand of the forehead. And the clue about this coming mark, not only will it control all global economic transactions, but this mark will get connected very clearly. The number 666 is connected to the Quran and to the very name of Allah by the way it's written, the way the Apostle John actually wrote it. And I won't go into it. If you missed that, you can watch the video. So even the mark of the beast is connected to Islam, connected to an Islamic man, but this, it says that he will give, he will set up an image to the beast. Now remember, they're going to rebuild the Jewish temple on the Temple Mount, right? And it says that the Antichrist will come up there to declare he is God, or that he is the supreme authority there, and it says that he will set up the abomination of desolation, or he will set up an image of the beast. Now there's people who say there will be a statue of that man, or that there are people who say there'll be some type of hologram that'll speak, or that'll be this. But did you know that the Muslims believe that when the Mahdi comes, that he will cause him and Isa, the false Jesus, his partner, the false prophet, will come and they will make the image, the cobblestone, will begin to speak. Now, what is the word image? Image is just an icon or a symbol. It doesn't necessarily have to mean a statue or a picture. And what have we shown? Satan was the star that fell from heaven. He was a fallen angel represented by a star who fell from heaven and a crescent moon. What they say they believe is that they're going to set a crescent moon symbol on the Jewish rebuilt Jewish temple and put that cobblestone in the center of it, and that the Antichrist and the false prophet will stand there, and the false prophet will call down fire, the Pope will call down fire, and he will speak to this thing, and it will start speaking as a sign that they are the Messiah, the Father. Don't know what we shall see very soon. Keep that in the back burner somewhere, back there. Now think about that. Now, if we're ordered by an Islamic Antichrist, and we're ordered by the false prophet, the Pope, to bow down to this thing, then you refuse. No. What's the primary mode of killing you in that time? The Bible says those who refuse to resist the mark, Revelation 20, they're beheaded. Who does that? Islam. They're the only people on the face of the earth who do that. Now, you know that France used to behead people. They really like that. They actually, the last person that was executed in France by beheading was in like 1979 or something like that. It was in the 70s. But Islam. Why do they do that? Because they're instructed in the Quran to strike the neck of their enemy. And because in the Hadith and the Sunnahs, the Hadith and the Sunnahs are what Muhammad said and did, and they are told to follow what Muhammad said in his example and keep beheading a whole village of Jewish men. Massive. This is why they do what they do. Muhammad was evil. Muhammad was very, very, very evil. You know, I've shared this before a And we all know, it's all common knowledge that he married a child of 6 years old, a girl, and consummated the marriage, and she was nine. What does that make him? A pedophile. A child molester, a rapist. We know that he stole his adopted son's wife, committed adultery, so he was an adulterer as well. And he was a cold-blooded murderer of Jews, Christians, and Arabs. Islam is Satan's religion. Islam is Satan in time on it. And you have to know that they have supernatural help from Satan for it to become accepted. I mean, Nancy made this kind of thing that if somebody made a movie from some story or something in the Quran or the Hadith, like these idiots just made a movie about Noah that basically had nothing to do with the real story of it, white people would go nuts. Muslims would start rioting and killing people, even if they can just find somebody, maybe a neighbor to kill. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a Christian. They just can find somebody to kill because they're just bloodthirsty maniacs, right? And it's like Benghazi and Egypt, and they just went crazy over a video about Muhammad, but Christians are expected, even by other Christians, to not even speak about the bad anti-Christ Noah movie. And may God have to be the bad guy and the fallen angel rock people to be the good guy. But we're not supposed to be upset about that. We're not even supposed to say anything. But if you flip this around, Hollywood, the president of the United States, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim, all of them would be like, oh, we can't do that. We, you know. That's why free speech is going to disappear, you guys. To say Jesus Christ, you got to understand something. To say Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Messiah who died on the cross for our sins, who rose from the dead, is the only way to be forgiven of sin, the only way to go to heaven. That right there is a death sentence for you under Islam. The basic gospel message, the basic presentation of who Jesus is a death sentence under Islam. And Islam is taking over the United States. They have infiltrated every level of our government. Obama recently appointed a man, the head of the CIA, who is converted to Islam, who spent a long time in Saudi Arabia and was allowed by the Saudi government to go to the Kaaba, which is only allowed by devout Muslims, are only allowed in. That man hits the CIA. We know that Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, when she was Secretary of State, was directly connected, directly even related to the family in charge of the Muslim vote. We are completely infiltrated. Just months ago, we know that 300 Middle Eastern terrorists slipped across the border and slipped out of sight into the U.S. And there's no telling though how many are here on student visas. What I'm preaching here among Muslims is a death sentence. Will you stand? Will you stand for Jesus no matter what?
just blows my mind.
And then we have the American pastors. Australian pastor, the biggest church, one of the biggest churches in Australia. What's his name? Brian Keith Smith or something like that? Something like that. Pastor of the Hillsong Church, where we, all that wonderful praise and worship music comes from, said to the world, Christians in Muslim worship. No, we don't worship Baal. Oh, here's another thing. You want something fun? Look up Hallel with an H. A-L-A-L. Hallel Food Logos.
Here's the problem with that. Look at any map of the old Roman Empire. What the Roman Empire controlled. And you will find out that they controlled Europe all the way around to the Middle East and North Africa. So the true Roman Empire was both European and Middle Eastern, right? Remember that the Bible says the final kingdom of the Antichrist that's represented by the statue of Daniel is 2 feet separate. 2 feet. Made of iron and clay. 2 feet. 5 toes on one, 5 toes on the other. Which shows a kingdom that is divided in two. European and Middle Eastern. Nevada. Look at another one. Hold on. Do you see the one? Anyway, it's just so. Be watching. What was I saying? Oh, the kingdom. Well, here's the thing. I've never understood why people are so adamant. If the old Roman Empire was both European and Middle Eastern, why they were so adamant about him being the Antichrist had to be from Europe. It never makes sense to me, especially when the Bible says he was a Syrian descent, which means he's a Arab descent, which means also he would have to come more than likely out of the Middle East. Here's another interesting thing. Of course, we know if the Antichrist is going to be considered by Muslims the Imam Mahdi, there's a little caveat there. It's a little restriction. There's a little requirement. He must be a descendant of Muhammad. I'm going to share something with you that I'm going to close. Because I'm going to show you there's a lot of disinformation agents out there. But the Imam Mahdi, whoever the man is that is recognized by the Muslims as their Messiah figure, will be a descendant of Muhammad. That is a requirement. No Muslim will accept any man to be the Imam Mahdi, the Messiah figure, unless he can prove he is a direct descendant of the Prophet Muhammad. Well, there's only one family left, really, that can prove that they are the direct descendants of Muhammad. That's the Hashemite family. And most of them dwell and live in what is now called the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. Okay? Now, here's something interesting. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, calls the Antichrist the man of sin, the son of perdition, or the son of destruction. Okay? Well, in Arabic, the sons of the Hashemites, or the son of Hashim, are called Banu Hashim. I looked this up myself, Arabic dictionary. Banu Hashim, Hashim, Hashemite means destroyers, crushers. Breakers. Literally, the Hashemites are all the sons of the sheep. Pretty wild, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, but here's the problem. There are some people out there. There's a guy who's written a book called The Islamic Antichrist, a guy named John Preacher. There's a guy who's written another book called The Islamic Antichrist, Joel Richardson. There are people who are on the right track concerning the Antichrist coming from Islam, okay? There's a guy that I quoted a while back by the name of Wally Chubak. Anybody remember Wally Chubak? I'm going to go ahead and expose this publicly because there are people out there that like to listen to Wally Chubak. Now, though Wally Chubak puts out some good information about Islam, and it's so true, I believe that he is an agent.
He's a plant. He's a disinformation agent. I met him. Nancy was there, and Kevin got to witness this meeting at First Baptist Church, a year and a half, 2 years ago. What's interesting is he claims that the Antichrist will come from Islam, but he also claims that Saudi Arabia and not the Roman Catholic Church is the Great Four. Okay? The reason I believe he claims that is because his wife is Roman Catholic. All right? But when you start giving out a little bit of truth, but then misleading people in other areas, you're really not helping matters a whole lot. Okay? Now, here's what was interesting. Not only did he try to deflect in his talk at First Baptist Church here in Oklahoma, not only did he deflect from the Roman Catholic Church being the Great Four, but I got to meet him afterwards because I wanted to press him a little bit because I know that he and Joel Richardson and some others believe that the Antichrist will come from Turkey. So I had a very simple question. I said, Waleed, now my wife's standing there, Kevin's standing there, so I have two witnesses to this conversation that I had with Waleed Shabbat face to face. I said, do not all Muslims believe, or the Muslims who believe in the Imam Mahdi coming, the Messiah figure of Islam, do not they believe that he has to be a descendant of Muhammad, a direct descendant of Muhammad? He said, yes. I said, well, you stated, or you believe that the Antichrist will come from Turkey. I said, are there any Hashemites in Turkey? He said, no. Then he backed away from me and got gruff in his voice. I never said a word. He got gruff and he goes, it's not Prince Hassan. I said, I've never said that. I didn't say this. I just looked at him and I said, really? And then he immediately turned away from me, didn't want to talk to me anymore. Well, come to find out, I did a little looking into Mr. Mohammed Shiba. Mr. Wally Shivak claims to be a Palestinian, claims to be a former member of the PLO, Palestinian Church, and also claims that he threw a firebomb in an Israeli bank. It was part of the Palestinian terrorism. Here's what's interesting. CNN, the Jerusalem Post, Israeli, no one can confirm his story, and even his own uncle says he was that person. Wally Shivak, he's a disinformation agent, probably working on the Roman Catholic Church. Here's what's interesting. When I left that meeting, and I remember my wife said, the moment she got near him, she felt in bad presence. And it was obvious that the Spirit on me, which I believe is the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit on him weren't agreeing with each other. It was like this. I was just asking questions. I wasn't being mean or in front of him, I was very respectful. I mean, he said some good things that he said I couldn't believe were said at First Baptist Church in Oklahoma. But I found out something's wrong here. And so he's also the one promoting Saudi Arabia being the Great Four, which I find interesting because I think that's a manipulation to try to get the Shiites to destroy Saudi Arabia. Because that's what certain entities more. Let me just remind you, there is a game being played out here. There's control and opposition. That's why Fox News, I don't trust Fox News at all. Why? Fox News is brilliant, what they call controlled opposition. They give you enough, some truth that the liberal mainstream media wouldn't give you. So you think, oh, well, they're giving us the truth. But no, they never talk about what's really going on. And they're all Roman Catholic, including O'Reilly and Hannity. Folks, we are filled with disinformation. Give them a little truth, but direct them away. And what was Waleed Shabbat trying to do? Direct us away from the Roman Catholic Church. In the Great Four, in the part she's going to play, and if you miss that part that the Roman Catholic Church is doing, you are missing a huge portion of the end time scenario. But Wally was also trying to push away information away from the only place, the only family that can be mom, dad, and victim. And when I went home that night, it was in my mind, I thought, I wonder why we really do a need. I'm going to find out. It looks like you. Here's another interesting thing. As well known as he is, speaking at different universities and different CNN and Fox News and being what appears to be Jordanian, what are you going to do? I would think he's a great guy. As many people will. Or let's just go a step further. Maybe he knows exactly what he's working for. I trust the Bible. I trust the Holy Ghost. I trust Jesus. That far about him at all, he fires. And his fingers. There's very few people that walk in through, even Christians. I mean, I've discovered that most Christians are just full of bovine excrement. What? The well belted model here. There you go. Crescent Boom. Isn't that interesting? Halal. Now, what does that show you? That the word halal and the word crescent are interchangeable here. The devil. The devil's in the details. All right. Did you learn something today? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the truth. For the truth of Scripture, for the truth the Holy Spirit leads us into. Lord, we pray for those in Islam, for those trapped. There are many people in Islam that are sincere people. They're sincere. They want to find God, but they're looking at the wrong place. Lord, I pray for your anointing and your power to begin to move upon many in the Islamic religion. God, I pray for the supernatural power of Jesus Christ to blow through. Lord, I don't care if it's Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt right now. Lord, I have people viewing my website in all these places. Lord, I pray touch people in the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia. Lord, I pray that you will show them that love is the way, that Jesus Christ is love, that he loves them. That God, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe, trust in, cling to him, would have everlasting life, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That there can be love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ taught us to love our enemies and bless those who curse us, not to kill those who disagree with us. It's such a different world. It's completely opposite. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, show your truth that, Lord, we as Christians, we don't worship three gods. We believe in one God who has manifested himself three ways. Show them, Lord God, your power, your truth. Set them free from that bondage of Islam, that bondage that they live in, that lie. Show them the real rock from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the true stone that the builders reject, the cornerstone, the one who truly takes their life. I pray for them. I will bless them. God, we don't hate. We don't like the fact they want to kill us, but we don't hate. We pray for them. I ask you to bless them, to open their eyes, and the Muslims within this country. Lord, we pray for them. It's such a revival, such a true revival in the church, that many Muslims see the power of God and the presence of God in Jesus Christ. Lord, we decree and declare we will not bow down to an antichrist, to a false prophet, to an image. We will not take out a number. chip in our hand, a forehead we will not submit to their evil satanic system. I'm afraid to respect the grace and power of Jesus. Well, I hope you learned something tonight. Allah is not the God of God. Never has been, never will be. Any preacher that says it is either woefully ignorant and shouldn't be a preacher, he's so ignorant, or he's got an agenda he's working for.
What is the mother's belief?
They believe they serve the God of Allah. They believe because Ishmael was Abraham's son, that they believe that Allah is the God of Abraham.
You know,
most of them. A lot of them know, though, that Allah and his three daughters, three goddesses, they know that that was around before. But it's all based on a lie. I mean, it's just all based on a lie. They change things to, the Roman Catholic Church taught Muhammad how to create a religion that would mirror Christianity and Judaism, but would put them in a position to try to wipe out true Christians. So you can thank Rome for teaching Muhammad how to deceive them by using Abraham. All right. Did you want prayer to follow me? Are you going to do that? Yeah. We'll do this in one. What's that? Well, we just want to thank everyone that was listening by Shoutcast Radio and Blog Talk Radio. Please shoot us an email or message us or something. Let us know you were listening today. You're out there. And you can share the program as soon as we sign off again. The program will be archived. And you can share it on Facebook or email people the link, and they can listen to this message after the fact for me day. So anyway, we thank you for being with us. God bless. All right, you guys.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle. Be sure to join us next week at the same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodle.org or Facebook, Dean Odle Ministry.